This morning I want to reflect on Christmas, the gift of God at Christmas, that baby born in that manger. I think it's timely that in this Christmas season to reflect on God's promised gift to mankind. It was a promise. The virgin shall have a child. It was a promise. And God fulfilled his promise. The embodiment of his gift, of that promise, was Jesus, through whom and by whom we have eternal life, everlasting life. The birth of Jesus was the coming of the second Adam. The first Adam, as we know, fell, and sin took hold of man. But God there in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15 made a promise. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, has bruised, broken, crushed the head of Satan. So we say Satan is under our feet, because that's the promise of God. When Jesus came, that was the fulfillment of that promise declared in the garden. Again, in John 3:14, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 14. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. John 3:14. I'll be reading to 17. And as Jesus in the desert lifted up the brass replica of a snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, so that who truly believe in him will not perish but be given eternal life. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now, everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and rescue it. As the snake on the pole was lifted for all the people to see and they were healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given, it's a gift, be given eternal life. And indeed, we know that the Son of Man was lifted up, because Jesus was speaking here before his death, speaking that which was to be, calling the things which are not as though they are, and indeed they were. Hallelujah. And so it's every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only, his unique Son, as a gift. As a gift. So again this morning, and these are familiar messages you must have had, but it's good to bring to remembrance these things. And once in a while I felt urged, I feel in a place to just revisit these old messages, because they can be refreshing. So they are refreshed. So they are refreshed in our minds. Let us remember that salvation is a gift. Freely given and accepted only by faith. Not by works, by faith. You only have to believe and you have it. You believe and you have it. Let's read the event Jesus referred to here in this Gospel in John. Let's read it. It's in Numbers 21. I'll be reading from verses 4 to 9. Numbers 21. From Mount Hor they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. And we loathe this worthless food, that is the manna. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made the bronze serpent and set it on the pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the event that Jesus referred to in John, in the passage of John which we've just read. John 3:14. That as just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of a snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. The person bitten by the snake didn't have to pray. They didn't have to offer any sacrifices, they didn't have to make any recitations. He or she simply had to believe and look on the bronze serpent. No other action on his or her part was required to effect healing and deliverance. Besides believing, no other action. All he had to do was believe. Believe, of course, if you're beaten and you're in pain and dying, and you believe, you will act on that belief. So all he or she had to do was believe and act on that belief. By going to look at the pole where the bronze serpent was. Going to that place where the bronze serpent was lifted up. Translating their belief into action. Acting on their belief. And they were healed. Similar is salvation through Jesus. It is a gift from God. Freely given, so that no one can boast. It is given by grace from God. Similarly, the person bitten by the poisonous snake was under a curse of sin and dying because of what they'd done. But the gift of God, freely given, by that gift, believing it, going to that lifted pole, given to that serpent lifted on the pole, they were healed simply by believing. Simply by believing. In Romans 6 verse 23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus, the second Adam, who we remember when we celebrate Christmas, which we did some 4 days ago, he is the embodiment, the full, complete embodiment of that free God's gift to all. I want you to just remember that today, that God so loved the world, He gave us as a gift. And peradventure, as you go through life, you may and you will come to situations whereby you are challenged and your foundation, the foundation of your salvation has been rocked or being challenged or being attacked based on what you did and what you didn't do, what you eat and what you didn't eat, what you said and what you didn't say, how you prayed or how you didn't pray. I want you to remember that your salvation was an unconditional free gift from God. And you believed. You believed. So you are saved. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, this gift of salvation works in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is in everyone who has accepted the gift. The Holy Spirit manifests in different forms, manifests in different ways, manifests by different means in us, saints. You are saints, we are saints. If you have believed, then you are a saint. I know that some churches make some people saints, saints this, saints that, saints. But we are all called saints in the context of who we are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 1:12. Paul wrote, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, which all that in every place call upon the name of Christ Jesus our Lord." Are you sanctified or made holy by Christ Jesus? You are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, which everyone in everywhere that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Do you believe it? That you are sanctified, you are made holy by the gift of God, by Jesus Christ. And you are separated unto God's service. So you are a saint by the gift of God. And moreover, you are a saint so as to be a gift from God to other people. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, so freely give." You are a saint so as to be a gift from God through His grace and His Holy Spirit that is working in you. All of us who have received God's free gift, we should be willing gifts to others. We should be willing to give to others also. Giving that which is essential. Peter, in writing the epistles, 1 Peter 4, First Peter 4, verse 10. Each one, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. Those who preach must preach God's messages. Those who serve must serve with the strength that God gives them, so that in all things praise may be given to God through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Paul also writing in Romans 12, verse 6. Romans 12, 6. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. Freely you have received, therefore freely give. So we see the gift of God on two levels. The primary is that you, by salvation, you have received the gift of God, which is your salvation. And every gift of God that flows from your salvation, from that salvation, through all saints, those are the secondary levels. That is God's gift on the secondary level. You receive it primarily for your salvation. But God's gift is also released through you to saints and to the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's free gift. God's free gift. I want to close with this quote from Clement. I don't know if any of you have read about Clement. He was the bishop, maybe one of the most written about bishops. Peter was the first bishop. Clement was the third bishop of Rome in the first century. And he wrote this. Saints, how blessed and marvelous are the gifts of God. Life in immortality, splendor in righteousness, truth in boldness, faith in confidence, temperance in sanctification. That's like self-restraint in sanctification. Life in immortality. We're mortal and we'll die. We will all die. But the gift of God is that we will never die. Hallelujah. If we are in Christ Jesus. Because he already died for us. And in him we live eternally. That is our immortality. We have... Paul wrote that, look, he never considers his own righteousness, but the righteousness which he craves for is that of Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the total embodiment of righteousness. And it's by faith. It is this glorious righteousness of Jesus which we have by faith, which is without blemish, has no stain, has no wrinkle, has no smell of wrong or dirt. It is perfect, it's splendid. God is spirit, and those who worship him do so in spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and he lives in the believer. He lives in the believer. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God that enables us to stand for the truth. We have faith in confidence. We are confident. Romans 3:38-39, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. But it is by faith we have this confidence. We boldly approach that throne of grace by faith. And that's all flowing from the gift of God, which came to us as Christmas. It came through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he, that's Christ Jesus, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are being sanctified. That offering was Jesus, the gift of God. And through that gift, you have sanctification. I have sanctification. We all are sanctified. Through Jesus Christ, through the Anointed One, and the power of His anointing, by the Holy Spirit that is in you, you can do all things. You have temperance. You can have restraint. You have self-restraint. You have moderation of your actions. You can have moderation of your actions. You can say no through the Holy Spirit who is in you. You have a quiet temper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These gifts were manifested by the earlier saints of old. The earlier saints, they manifested these gifts. And we have inherited them. And we ought to evidence these gifts. They ought to be evidenced in us, in today's generation. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you as you go towards the end of this year into the new year. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile on you. May the Lord be gracious towards you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Amen.
Amen.